Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to give an introduction to get us up to speed. So I want to pray first this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. And Lord, I ask that you would use me this morning to preach. Lord, that you would fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. You'd open up our ears and our hearts that we could learn something. Oh, and Lord, if anyone's lost, Lord, I ask that you would touch their heart and show them your love and your compassion and your mercy. And Lord, whatever the situation, we know you're the answer. We thank you for what you're going to do here today. Lord, open up the altars, take away the distractions, Lord, and help us to hear from heaven today. We ask all these things from Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to read in a minute Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 39. But as we, this is talking about the cross. So Jesus is at the cross at this point, and I want to get us up to speed because the day before was the Last Supper, and Jesus went with his disciples after that to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Luke describes it as the sweat became as great drops of blood, and he prayed to God, and he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Then right after that, Jesus, if you remember, is betrayed at that night by Judas, one of his disciples, with a kiss. He's then taken before Annas and Caiaphas, who are the high priest, and they had a council together of scribes and elders and everyone, and they start accusing Jesus, but you know what? He doesn't answer a thing. So after this time, or during this time, remember, Peter is standing a ways off, and he denies Jesus just like Jesus had said he would. And Luke said that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter when he did that, and then Peter wept bitterly. So we've got the denial of Peter, and then Judas after that, he tried to go return the 30 pieces of silver, and then he hanged himself. So he goes from Annas and Caiaphas, the Jewish leaders. He is then taken to Pilate for the first time, and Pilate questions him, and he doesn't respond. And then at the end, Pilate says, "I find in him no fault at all." I like that. I like how Pilate said that, and then he tried to get out of it and sent him off to Herod. So Herod questions Jesus. Jesus doesn't answer. And then Herod finds nothing wrong, sends him back to Pilate. So Pilate's got Jesus for a second time. And at this time, Pilate's like, "Oh, I got an idea. It's the feast day. The custom of that day was to release one of the prisoners." So he tried to get the crowd to release Jesus. He tried everything he could. But they didn't want Jesus. They wanted Barabbas. Remember, they chose the real murderer, the real one that had caused insurrection or riot. And they the more Pilate wanted them to pick Jesus, the more they yelled for Barabbas, the thief and the murderer. So then he asked, "Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus?" And they cried out for him to be crucified. Pilate didn't want this, but the cries just kept getting louder and louder. And eventually he gave in. And he washed his hands of it. And he said, "His blood be on your hands." So after that, Jesus is then scourged. He's beaten. He's stripped. He is whipped. And then they place a scarlet robe on him and a crown of thorns on his head. And they give him a reed. And what they're doing is they're mocking him. They're making him look like a king. And all those military men bow down to him. But they're just doing it in mockery. And then they hit him with the reed, and they mock him. They rip off the robe. But they're doing all of these things. They spit on him. They hit him. And then he gets led, after all that, to the cross. So he is walking up to the hill of Calvary. And there Simon the Cyrenian is told to bear his cross. So there Jesus is, with his cross behind him, heading towards Calvary. And the two thieves that are going to be crucified with him are walking as well. And they're all headed up to the cross. The nails are pounded into his hands and his feet. And he's lifted up on the cross. And after that happens, there's the soldiers dividing his clothes amongst themselves. And when they get to the coat, instead of tearing it up, they cast lots for his coat. So here's where we are. That gets us up to speed. Matthew 27, 39. And it says, talking about Jesus, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. And if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise unto the chief priests, mocking him, and the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. That means they said the same thing. So Jesus is on the cross. He'd already been beaten, humiliated, and mocked every step of the way. This same Jesus that Jimmy and I preach week after week, this is him on the cross. And see, we try to explain to you how much that Jesus loves you. The same Jesus that created this world, and that created you and I. Here he is on the cross. God himself came down from heaven. We just celebrated Christmas, where Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. All he did was teach and heal and restore broken lives and forgive sins. And this is where he is now. Treated like a criminal, mocked like a villain, all because of envy and power and greed. That's why they wanted him dead. And Pilate marveled at the fact that he never answered any of his charges. Pilate said, "I have the power to release you." And Jesus didn't take it. I want you to understand that Jesus had every opportunity to get out of this. He could have defended himself in front of the Jews. He could have defended himself in front of Pilate. All it would have taken was a little bit of testimony. And Pilate, he said, all he wanted to do was just chastise him and get rid of him. But instead, Jesus kept his mouth shut, just like the prophets foretold. Prophecy was fulfilled. He had every choice. Even as he was on the cross, he could have come down. They were mocking him and saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down off the cross." He could have. I want you to understand, just because these things started going in motion, that didn't stop the fact that it was voluntary for Jesus the entire time. John 10:17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus willingly died for you and I. He did it. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, but he did it willingly and voluntarily. See, the devil thought that he had Jesus that day. He thought that his perfect plan to get Jesus and trap him through Judas, he said, "I've got him now." But let me tell you something. Let me tell you, he was wrong. The devil was wrong that day. But see, this is not the part I want to talk about. I want to talk about the next two verses. See, I don't hear this preached and taught as much. Verse 45, listen close. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" I'm not sure how to say it, but it tells us that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's what I want to focus on this morning. See, verse 45 tells us that darkness fell on the earth from the sixth hour. There, the Jewish sixth hour means it was noon. So at high noon, the sun's at its highest point of the day, and all of a sudden, there's darkness. There's darkness. And you know what? Some people would argue, some scientists would argue and try to say, "Oh, no big deal. That was just the moon getting in between the earth and the sun. An eclipse." Right? For 3 hours? For 3 hours? You guys remember an eclipse? It's been a while since I think we're supposed to have one this year. But you know what the longest, I looked it up, the longest it would last if everything was perfect and the moon was right, the shadow of the moon fell right over where you were. You know how long it would last? 7.5 minutes. 7.5 minutes, and then that shadow would go on by. 3 hours there was darkness on the cross. And near the end of those 3 hours, you hear Jesus crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what happened during that darkness, during that time? Nobody could witness the full wrath of God that was being poured out on Jesus Christ. For 3 hours, the wrath of God was poured out on our Savior. There is Jesus in darkness and in the ninth hour. And you know, the ninth hour has some significance in our Bible. You know, Elijah there on Mount Carmel, when he prayed fire to come down, you know when that was? That was the ninth hour. And then Daniel prayed at the ninth hour and was visited by an angel. Peter and John were heading to the temple to pray one day at the ninth hour, and they wrought a miracle right there. And Cornelius prayed at the ninth hour, and an angel came and visited him. But you know what? This was different. This time of evening prayers, the ninth hour, Jesus cries out, and there's no answer. There's no answer. God answered in all those other situations in miraculous ways. And this time, there's nothing. Nothing. Silence. And Jesus is quoting Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring? Jesus was abandoned by God that day on the cross. He was surrounded by a crowd of people, but he was all by himself. Why? Because he knew no sin, but he was made sin for us. You know what he experienced that day? He experienced the same thing that a person that's a sinner would experience when they go to hell. What has he had? There was darkness surrounding him. He was surrounded by people, but he was all by himself. There were voices, but nobody there. And he is crying out to God, and there is no answer. We are seeing the exact same thing. If you were to deny Jesus Christ and his salvation, you would open your eyes in hell, and you would see darkness, and you would go through pain and torment and all of those things physically, but the worst part is that you are forsaken by God. You cry out to heaven and your prayers will go nowhere, just like Jesus Christ there on the cross crying out to his God, and there was no mercy. None. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll be crying out the same question if you're in hell. And you know what? They're crying that out today.
Yeah.
No mercy for 3 hours in darkness for Jesus Christ. You know what Psalm 22? He is going through all of that agony and has gone through 3 hours of it. You know what Psalm 22 describes? It describes a gruesome death and that trouble being near, but there is no help. Psalm 23 talks about being, all my bones are out of joint. What's that sound like? Hanging on the cross. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to stretch everything and to cause you to not be able to breathe. You'd lift yourself up with that nail through your feet. The pain, you would take a breath and then you would let yourself down and it would dislocate your shoulders and everything else. Psalm 22 talks about bones being out of joint. My heart is like wax and melteth. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Remember, Jesus cried out, I thirst. It goes on and it says, for dogs have compassed about me, what the Jews call Gentiles. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I may tell all my bones. You know what he's saying? I didn't break a bone and all of that. And then he goes on and that just fulfillment after fulfillment. And it says, they look and they stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Do you realize what Psalm 22 is doing? Psalm 22 is describing the crucifixion hundreds of years before they invented it. And Jesus, to all those Jews out there, says the first verse. You know what he's doing to them? He's showing them one more time, I am the Messiah.
Amen.
I am the one in Psalm 22. Amen. It is me. It is me hanging on the cross. It is me right now. And just in that Psalm, there's like five or six things, prophecies that were fulfilled right in front of them. And instead of saying, forget you and I hate you and look what you've done to me, there is Jesus one more time trying to show them in His last dying breaths, saying, listen to me, I am Him and I am dying for you. That's what He's saying. But you know what? This world, it looks at sin. It looks at transgression against God. And you know what this world does? This world laughs at it. This world acts like sin is no problem. They pride themselves in sinning. They glorify in sinning. They'll have a parade through Columbus just to show how much they love sin against God. But let me tell you something. Even though this world thinks things are okay, if God says it's not okay, that doesn't change. And sin has consequences. And when you go against God, there are consequences. And you know what that main consequence is? It's that cross right up there. And for 3 hours, there He was in darkness, all alone, forsaken, as God poured out the wrath of sin on Him. I'm telling you, God views sin different than we do. He sees it as evil and wicked. And a holy God turned His face from His Son that day. Turned His face. Jesus wasn't spared any of the agony, but that full punishment of sin.
Amen.
He went through hell. But then let's get back to the question. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what He cries out on the cross. And I told you, it's part of Psalm 22, but it's also a question. But if you've heard me, remember what questions are in the Bible. When God or Jesus asks a question, it's not because He doesn't know the answer. It's because we don't know the answer. We need help. We need direction. Remember God in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve had sinned and they went and hid themselves? And remember what God said? He called out to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Where art thou? God knew where Adam was. Adam needed to know where Adam was.
Amen.
That's what questions are. So we've got another question right here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would Jesus endure such pain? Why would He take on the sins of the world? Why would God forsake Him that day? And if we could have Jesus here today, you know what He would tell us? He would answer the question. I believe He would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would give you the answer why. He would say it's for you and for you and you and me. That's why God forsook Him on the cross that day. It is because of us. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die for our sins. And as He takes that full penalty and weight of sin on His shoulders and darkness encompasses the earth for 3 hours, He's in agony. He cries out, there's no mercy at all. And He did that for you and me.
Yeah.
He did it for us.
Amen.
For you and me. I told you at the beginning, we try to get up here and explain how much God loves you. We try to explain how much Jesus loves you. And so many times after I go home, I feel like I failed. Because there are no words that I can say. There's nothing that I can really put it into speech. They're not good enough. But I want you to imagine Jesus Christ on that cross for you and for me. That's how much He loves us. Knowing what was coming. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of His sacrifice, because of Him enduring all of that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You know what? You know what I like? That's a horrible picture. But you know what it tells me? He said something after that. But just before he gave up the ghost and died, he said something. He said three words. He said, "It is finished." You know what that means? That means if you accept Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, that means your sins will be forgiven. That means that He took the full penalty. You know what that means? There's no more cup left for you and I to drink. There's nothing left. We don't have to pay anything anymore. We don't have to suffer anything anymore. If we just accept what Jesus has already paid, you and I can't pay it ourselves. We haven't lived a perfect life like Jesus did. We haven't gone through all that. But the great thing is, we don't need to. He loves us so much that He has done this all for you. But like any gift, you can leave it on the table and walk away. So many that day, there were soldiers that watched it and said, "Surely this is the Son of God." And believed on Him and were changed that day. They said, "We didn't hang a thief up there. We hung up God Himself." You want to know who was forsaken that day? God forsook God that day for you and I. That's what He did. How much more can He show you that He loves you? And if you accept Jesus Christ, one day you'll stand before Him forgiven, guiltless. We don't even have to go to purgatory, right? What is that? That's suffering. He took the suffering. We don't have to go to hell. He took the punishment. He took the hell. But only if you accept Him. He's laid it there out on the table. He said, "I have done everything that God required of your sin. And I did it voluntarily. And I did it without, before you even knew you needed it, I made the way." That is the Jesus that we're singing about. That's the Jesus we're praying to. That's the one that we're preaching about. That Jesus. I love baby Jesus, but you know who I love even more? The Jesus that did it all for me. And then He was buried. And see, if that was the end of the story, we wouldn't be here today. But on the third day, He rose from the dead and defeated all of it, death, hell, and the grave. And with that power, that's where He's the one saying, "I have the power to forgive sins." And then He said, "I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to raise it back up again." Let me tell you something. He has the power to raise you up as well. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, Jesus can not only take care of it, He can make you better than you started. And I'm here to tell you He's done it in my life. I thought I had a good life. Then I met Jesus Christ and He gave me a wonderful life. And not only is it wonderful here, He has given me promises for up there. And although I haven't seen Him face to face, there will be a day that I will see Him face to face. And you know what I'm going to do? I am going to kneel before Him and say, "Praise You, Jesus, for what You have done. You endured what should have been mine. That cross should have been mine. I should have been up there." But instead, He said, "I love Him too much to let Him go to hell." And He said, "I'm going to die for Him." That way, years down the road, some preacher preaching something, a parent witnessing, and the Holy Spirit touching my heart, and all of a sudden I realized I needed a Savior. And I knelt down and I asked Jesus into my heart. And I've never been the same since. "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" For You. For You. I ask everyone to stand. What more does Jesus Christ have to do to convince you that He loves you? What more does He have to do to convince you that He wants to have a relationship with you forever? What more does He have to convince you that He would do anything for you He went through something he didn't deserve because he loved us so much. It was so bad, we couldn't even look upon it. Darkness for 3 hours, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to put your name in that answer. It's for you. It's for you.
Amen.
He loves you that much. And I don't know the circumstance. I don't know your situation, but you do. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Him into your heart, you need to today. Because you'll end up paying for eternity in hell, and you never needed to. You can accept Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. The sacrifice is over. It's done. Maybe you've walked away. You're thinking, man, Mike, you don't understand. I once knew Jesus, but I left Him. I went back out into the world. It doesn't matter how bad a list of things. There stands the Father waiting with open arms, hoping that today's the day His Son comes back home. And when He sees you and you come to Him, He will run to you just like that prodigal son. He'll wrap you up in His arms, and He'll put a new clothes on you, new shoes on your feet, a ring on your finger, and have a feast to celebrate that my son, which was lost, has come home again. And that's the same thing He'll do for you and I. You accept Jesus Christ, all of heaven will celebrate. And so will this church. I'm telling you today, Jesus loves you. But as she gets ready to sing a song, now it's up to you. He's done everything. Now it's up to you. What will you do with it? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with His sacrifice? I ask you to come.